Now, shall we turn again this evening to Luke, to Mark chapter 4, and taking up our reading this evening at verse 13, Gospel according to Mark in chapter 4, and taking up our reading in verse 13, the verses that we come to look at this evening are verses 26 to 34. We're going to read again from verse 13, and we enter into the explanation of the parable that our Lord Jesus Christ has just spoken. Verse 13 of Mark chapter 4. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. With many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Amen. This evening in our sermons in Mark's Gospel, we come to two more parables that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the course of his earthly life and ministry. The two parables, of course, are parables in their own right, but they also stand very much related to that great parable that our Lord Jesus Christ told in the course of our verses for last week, and where he then explained the meaning of that parable, you remember, the spiritual and gospel meaning, and then where he went on to apply the meaning of that parable to all those who had ears to hear and hearts to understand aright. Now, the parable, of course, was the parable that our Lord himself calls the parable of the sower. And as we said in our time together for last week, there's hardly another parable in the Word of God that is more straightforward and more simple in all its images and its illustrations and so on, and yet at the same time very profound and challenging when it comes to the application and the truth as our Lord Jesus Christ sets out that application and its truth before his listeners. You remember, behold, he says, there went out a sower to sow. Perfectly normal scene that would have been absolutely familiar with all of those people that he was speaking to at that time. And as that sower sowed his seed, as he scattered it broadcast, says the Lord, Some of it fell by the wayside, that is, some of it fell on the hard trodden down footpath that ran along the side of the man's field. When it fell there, of course, simply bounced off the hard footpath, and says the Lord, the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, swooped down and snatched that seed away. Some of it, he says, fell on stony ground. But because there were more stones than earth in that particular patch of ground, so when the seed sprung up, it withered away, says the Lord, in the sunlight. And then some of it fell among thorns, he says, but eventually the thorns choked out the good seed, so that there wasn't any fruitfulness whatsoever in that seed that was sown. Some, of course, he said, fell on good ground, and it yielded good fruit, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He that hath ears to hear, says the Lord, let him hear. And as far as the earthly details of that parable were concerned, then, as we said, absolutely simple and straightforward to those people who listened to it that day, and no doubt to us as well, even in these days in which we live. Now, with regards to the spiritual meaning of that parable, that too really is simple and straightforward, as the Lord goes on then to explain the parable. The seed, he says very simply, that the sower sowed in the truth of the parable is the word of God, the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, as it's sown in men and women's lives and men and women's hearts and lives. But how is that word received? That's what the parable is really all about. And so the Lord then goes out to set four conditions of heart and mind that correspond or that answer to those four soil conditions that he's spoken about in the course of the parable. Some hearts, he says, indeed, are like the hard, stony surface of that footpath. When the word of God is preached in those people's hearing, that word does not penetrate their heart, not one minute. But as soon as it's preached, then down comes the devil, says the Lord, and he snatches away that seed out of their heart. Some hearts, he says, are like the stony ground. There's an awful lot of stones mixed up with whatever earth is there, so that the seed only springs up for a very short period of time, then it withers away. And some hearts, he says, are like the seed that is sown among the thorns, which eventually choked out the seed so that there was no real fruit produced from that seed that was sown there. And some, of course, are like good ground, prepared ground, and it does bring forth 30, 60, 100-fold in fruitfulness to the glory of the Lord God. If you like, you remember, the hard heart, the shallow heart, the overcrowded heart, the heart that has time for absolutely everything under the sun except the things of Jesus Christ the Saviour, and the ready heart, the heart that is ready to receive the word and able to produce fruit according as that word is sown in that heart. And so in the light of that explanation then comes the Lord's application of the parable in verse 24 especially. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Very simply, my friends, according as to how we treat the word of God in our lives, so the God of that word will treat us. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Harden up your heart, deafen up your ear to the word of God, says the Saviour, and God will harden up your heart, and God will deafen up your ear, and there shall be taken away from you that even which you appeared and seemed to have. No wonder the Lord says, take heed what ye hear, or in another place, take heed how ye hear. Take heed what kind of ground you are when it comes to the reception of the gospel of God in your heart. For indeed, as the Saviour says, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. No wonder the Lord, my friends, pointed to the parable of the sower as one of the most vital parables that he spoke, as he told the disciples earlier on, understand ye not this parable, and how then will ye understand all parables? And it's absolutely basic, and just as vital now as on that day when the Lord told it and explained it and applied it to the hearts of those people that were before him. So the parable of the sower, that's what our Lord has told. Now, as I say this evening, these two other parables, each of them a parable in its own right, and yet each of them and both of them together very much related to those great words that the Savior spoke that constitute that parable that he called the parable of the sower. Now then, if we wanted an overall description for the two parables that our Lord now tells, we could say that they are two parables on growth, two parables on how things grow. And you see, in the first one, our Lord again simply tells of a man who sowed seed into the ground. He went to bed, says the Lord, and then he rose up the next day. And then he went to bed at the end of that night, and he rose up the next day. And on he went to bed, he slept, he rose, day after day after day. But as he slept, says the Lord, and indeed as he was awake, something was happening with the seed that he sowed. Until eventually that seed began to bring forth, says the Savior, its fruit, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And then came the time when the seed was fully ripe and the harvest was going to be reaped. And says the Savior, that man put in his sickle and he reaped the harvest that had come to pass. So is the kingdom of God, he says. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And again, you see then, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning and a heavenly application that we're to take to our hearts and to our souls. In the other parable, the Lord again tells of what happens with regards to the sowing of another seed, but a particular kind of seed, a mustard seed, he says, which, says the Lord, is the least of all the seeds. As far as its size and its appearance is concerned, says the Savior, the mustard seed is the least of all the seeds that is ever sown into the ground. And yet when it's sown, he says, and when it begins to grow, it grows, as you might say, out of all proportion to anything else until it becomes like a tree, a good healthy tree. It shoots forth its branches, he says, and the birds of the air come and nest under those branches and find shadow in them. Not too is a spiritual meaning, so is the kingdom of God, says the Lord. And with many such parables, it says, spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear. So having told the parable of the sower, now the Lord tells two parables, as I say, parables in their own right, but parables very much associated with the parable of the sower and undoubtedly to be understood in the light of the parable of the sower. Now, how are they associated? And very simply, they're associated in this way, my friends. They teach us that if a person has truly received the good seed of the gospel into their heart, as in the parable of the sower, then that good seed is going to take root and it's going to grow and produce the fruits of the gospel in that person's life. It tells that, my friends, without contradiction whatsoever. And it's very much a gospel word, don't you see? Because it tells us quite clearly that for a profession of Christianity to be a valid profession, that Christianity must have valid expressions of the Christian life as the Word of God sets out that Christian life for us. What is the kingdom of heaven like, says the Lord? With what comparison shall we compare it? What's the reign of grace in a person's heart like? What is the existence of the things of God like? Well, he says, it's like seed being planted in a man's field. And as that seed is planted in a man's field, he says, what results in that planting is growth. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And very simply, my friends, you see, if the good seed of the gospel enters into good ground, then it will produce good fruits in a person's life. And what these two adjoining parables to the parable of the sower is all about, it's all about, my friends, the production of the life of faith where the gospel has truly taken root in a man or a woman or a young person's heart. Very comforting parable, as we'll see in a moment, but a very challenging parable, don't you see, as well. How do you know a Christian? Can you know a Christian? Can you know whether or not a person is really a Christian or not? Well, doesn't our Lord say at one point, this is how you know, as far as our ability is concerned, as far as whatever discernment the Lord gives to us, says the Lord very simply, by their fruits ye shall know them. And where the seed of the gospel takes root in a person's heart, my friends, then the fruit of the gospel is going to be seen in that person's life. Very often, and don't we all know it, and shouldn't we be ready to confess it? Very often, my friends, that fruit is just as though it's in the blade. Sometimes it appears to be in the ear. Sometimes even, thanks to God, it can appear as though it's full corn in the ear. But that's not the point. The point is, says the Lord, that when that man sowed his seed into the ground, that ground began to produce. And where the gospel is sown into a heart prepared by the Spirit of God, then that ground is productive of the things of God in a man or a woman's life. It produces fruit consistent with the seed. And where the seed of the gospel is sown and has taken root, then the fruit of the gospel is evidently seen in a man or a woman, or a young person, or a child's life, for that matter. You remember a great word that the Apostle Paul said? It's almost passed into our everyday jargon, although I suppose some people wouldn't associate it with the Word of God. And very simply he says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he goes on and enlarges that, you remember. For he that soweth to the flesh, he says, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. By their fruits ye shall know them. And not in any way, my friends, are we to stand back from the truth of the Word of God that says very, very clearly that the gospel at work in a person's life will show itself in a person's life. So that it comes very, very challenging, don't you see, to anyone who is unconverted and yet at the same time would in some way deceive themselves that they've got the truth of God in their life. My friends, a person with the truth of God in their life will show the fruit of the gospel in their life. And they will show it, perhaps they'll just show it in the blade, but they'll show it. And there are those things that are looked for in the Word of God that are absolutely consistent with the good seed of the gospel in a person's life. And where it isn't there, my friend, then you don't have the gospel in your life. And as the Lord told that parable was to go with its application very forcibly into the hearts and the souls of those who heard. That word off the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit of God. And it is a very straightforward word. Be not deceived, he says, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's a principle. Clear, straightforward principle. And you know, it's one of God's means of grace. I'm always humbled at this, my friends, as any as it should be, the way that God has built into the very creation the things of redemption. You see, we sometimes get our order mixed up. And perhaps we think, oh, well, here's what happens in nature. And so along comes Christ and the writers of the New Testament under the Holy Spirit of God. And they look and see what's happening in nature. And they draw illustrations, spiritual illustrations out of it. That's not the order. My friends, God in eternity implanted into very nature the things of redemption. So that if you go away back to the Garden of Eden, when the Lord created things at the beginning, it says that he created everything with its seed within itself. Its own particular seed. So that everything would bring forth its own particular plant in its own particular way. And as it is in the things of nature, so it is in the things of redemption, so it is in the things of the gospel that challenges or comforts our heart. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap whatsoever. My friends, if we sow barley, we don't expect turnips or cabbages to come up. And says the word of God that if a person sows to their flesh, then of the flesh shall they reap corruption. And only as we sow to the Spirit shall we of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now you see the grace of God. Be not deceived, he says. Don't let anybody else deceive you. Don't deceive yourself. Here is the principle. The principle is a very clear one, that what you sow, that shall you reap. Does a person want to reap everlasting life, eternal life, salvation, unto heaven and from hell? Then there's only one way to reap everlasting life, and that's to sow to the Spirit. And that's to believe in those things that Christ has said. And that's to accept God's way of salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord. And where that is done, my friends, then what is produced in a person's life are those things that are consistent with that seed of the gospel in a person's life. He that sows to the flesh, he says, of the flesh shall reap corruption. That's a very somber and sobering word. You see, in the Gospel of Matthew, in fact, there's what you might call a counterpart to this parable that Mark tells us about here. It's the same kind of situation, except that Matthew, when the Lord tells this particular passage, shows something else that the Lord spoke about. He spoke about the man sowing his good seed, as you might say, but then he says in the middle of the night, along came some of his enemies, and they sowed other seed. They sowed tares, in fact. So that there growed up in this particular man's field tares and wheat. They almost looked the same. They were muck wheat, in fact. What was the man to do? Says the Lord, he was to leave everything to grow together until the harvest. Then when the harvest would come, the man indeed would put in his sickle, and he would reap the whole of that field. He would take the wheat and gather it into his garner. He would take the tares, gather them together in bundles, and burn them. If you want to read the explanation of that parable, says the Lord, again, the good seed is the word of the Son of God, the gospel. The tares is the seed of that old serpent, the devil. The field is the world. Those that believe are the wheat. Those that believe not are the tares. The garner is everlasting life. The tares burnt in the fire is everlasting damnation. Can't get away from these words of the Bible, you know. You see, my friends, there's only one alternative to a full or biblical message in our day, and that's to get rid of the Bible altogether. And we either take it in all the sternness and all the goodness and severity that God pronounces it, or we take it not at all. And when our Savior here tells this parable, he's telling very clearly for each and every person whoever hears his word to have a look at their life and see if there is fruit productive in their life that corresponds to the receiving of the gospel of Christ in their life. Do we bring forth fruit? I'm not talking about great, outstanding Christian lives. The devil can get you in like that. I'm talking about basic things, my friends. Do we love the Lord? Very, very definitely, don't we have to say very often that our love is weak and faint, but for all that, do we love the Lord? Do we love his word? Do we attend to prayer? Do we search out to see how we ought to frame our lives in accordance with God's truth? Is our faith in Christ and in Christ alone? Are we dependent upon him? Do we pronounce his name with reverence? Are we sorry for our sins? That's the fruit of the gospel. That's the fruit of the gospel. In the blade, in the ear, in the full corn in the ear, but that's the fruit of the gospel, man. And this night, if that isn't present in your life, to whatever degree that those three stages of growth are, then the gospel is not present in your life. And salvation is not present in your life. And you have as yet only sown to the flesh, and of the flesh you shall reap corruption. And so the Lord pronounces a very definite, very challenging word for all that have ears to hear. Now let's look just at some of the points of the parable. Surely they're worth noting. You see, in the course of the parables, the both of them, but especially the first one, there's that whole truth of the Word of God concerning our responsibility and God's sovereignty. If you like, the responsibility side of things and the sovereignty side of things. You know how we're exhorted in the Word of God to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're exhorted to do that. We're exhorted to grow, my friends. And you know how a person grows in the light of the Word of God? They grow in the light of the Word of God by taking the whole of the Word of God to their lives and bowing themselves to that Word of God. I don't know how anybody can miss that. And the very passage of Scripture that speaks about that is where the Apostle Peter speaks about the epistles of our dear brother Paul, he says. And in those epistles, he says, there are many things hard to be understood. Now, what does he mean by that? Does he mean there are great mysterious things in the epistles of the Apostle Paul? Well, yes, to a degree, that's the truth. There are some deep things in the epistles of Paul, because the epistles of Paul are part of the Word of Almighty God, and God's thoughts are far above our thoughts. So that's not essentially what Peter is saying. Peter is saying that there are things in the epistles of the Apostle Paul which are not hard to be understood in the sense of intellectual understanding, but hard to take. Hard to take. And listen to, in fact, what he does say. And also in all his epistles, he says, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. He says they take the scriptures of God, in fact, and they put the scriptures of God on a rack. And you know what you do when you put a person on a rack, or what they did when they put a person on a rack? They twisted that person out of all his right proportions to make him say what they wanted him to say. And he says there are people who take the Word of God, such as the Apostle Paul pronounces, and because they don't really want to hear what that Word of God is saying, he says they wrest that Word. They put it on a rack. They distort the Word to make it to say what they want to say. Don't you do that, he says. Don't you do that. Beloved, he says, here's what you do. Receive that Word of God and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow, my friends? We grow, if you like, by knowing about Christ. And the way that we know about Christ is in all the Word of God that God has granted to us. And as we know, we grow. That's the order of things in the Scriptures of God. And there is set before us in the Scriptures of God total obligation, total responsibility. And you see that man, of course. He lies down at night and he sleeps and he gets up the next day. Now, what did he do the next day? Well, he would have done the things that were necessary to do. As far as tending the crop or preparation or all of those things, it's assumed that the man would have done those things. And so the man, to see that crop coming to the fullness of the harvest, he did everything that was necessary with regards to it. That's not all. Because there's another tremendous side of it, you see. Because not only while that man was awake, and even at those times when that man was busy, if you like, at his planting and all the rest of it, even while he slept, the seed was growing. He knoweth not how, says the Lord. He knoweth not how. And isn't it the case? You see, you can't deny it, because it is the Word of God. You see, I find very often, my friends, that people come along to you and they get perplexed with you because you won't agree with them. Now, look, very often, it's not a matter that you're failing to agree with somebody. But in that statement of B.B. Warfield, you're under orders. Maybe it's a simplistic view of things, my friends. But either this Word of God is true and valid and dependable from beginning to end, or it is so much pulp that means absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Less than nothing. Lighter than air. Or else it's the word of Almighty God. And you see, the word of God makes it quite clear that we're to see to all of those things that God has called us to see to, and yet at the same time, going on within the heart of every person who has ever trusted in Christ is all of that what you might simply call the mystery of grace. And while the man slept, the seed was maturing and it was coming to pass. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear, until it came to the very time of harvest itself. And you see, the Lord commands us to do all of these things. And yet when we have done all of these things, it is the Lord really who produces the harvest in his own time. As that old confessional hymn says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith within. We don't know that. As far as those things of our salvation are concerned, we're like the man sleeping in his bed at night. But even while he's sleeping in his bed, all the work is going on until the full time of harvest eventually comes. Now, that's the case, my friends. And you see, it is the case that God's work. If you like to bring in at this point that parable of the mustard seed. The least of all the seeds, says the Lord. But you see, that too points us up to God's sovereignty. At least to God's sovereign goodness. As that other old hymn says, he makes his sovereign goodness known. And you see the sovereign goodness in the mustard seed parable. What's the point of that parable? Point of that parable is this, that what is produced out of that small, minute grain, what is produced is out of all proportion to what was sown. And isn't that like our salvation, my friends? What does the Lord ask of us and require of us? He asks us to believe in Jesus Christ. The greatest, the sweetest, the most gallant, the loveliest of all things that ever appeared in this world. And God asks us of us one thing, to put our trust in Jesus. And for that mustard seed, he will grant us eternal life forever. Ah, you say, but yes, there is a bit of work. Well, all right. Take even what you might call the bit of work. Doesn't the Lord answer that himself? Doesn't the Lord say, look, there is not one of you, but whatever you give up in this world, be it houses or land or anything else, that you shall not receive a hundredfold and in the life to come, joy everlasting. Doesn't the Apostle Paul say? What's the present perplexities of this world life? He says, compared to the eternal weight of glory that is laid up, they are nothing. They are not to be compared. And the whole point of the parable is, it's this phenomenal yield for what's sown. A grain of mustard seed that brings forth this at the end. It's like the kingdom of God, of course. When you think of it, my friends, even as, well, if you take the Lord himself, and it's the way people get mixed up, of course, with spiritual things. You see how the Lord deigned that the gospel should start in this world. As far as the beginning of the gospel in this world is concerned, where did it start? It started, my friends, with an infant of days laid in a feeding trough in a stable in Bethlehem. That's where it began. Where will it end? It will end with a multitude that no man can number eternally singing the praises of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Isn't it like the resurrection? In fact, it's almost like resurrection language. Remember how Paul speaks about how all them that believe in Christ will be sown in the earth indeed. But they shall rise in the resurrection. And he looks no doubt at his own frail wee body and the body of us all, no matter how strong we think we are. And he says, here's the case. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. A mustard seed. But the least of all the seeds, when it brings forth out of all proportion to its size and its appearance. So is the kingdom of God. And it's all got to do with the sovereignty of God and the workings of God. And again, my friends, you bear in mind that there is that other side of things. There's those tares and all the rest of it. But for tonight, never mind that. You get it into your heart and your mind that God is the one who will produce his own harvest in his own time. I find that very comforting, and I trust we all do, and that's the comforting side of the parable. You know, in the Word of God, God himself is described as the husbandman. All the believers in Christ are described as God's husbandry, or God's garden, or God's field. And of course, in God's garden, if you like, are all the plantings of God in grace. And you see, the great thing about God, as the perfect husbandman, he knows exactly when to reap his harvest. That's not only when it comes to the end of the world, my friends. That's when it comes to every person in whose life the seed of the gospel has taken root and has sprung up and been productive of fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Then when the Lord puts in the sickle, the Lord knows when it's ready. And some, don't you know, that they go down to the grave, as it were, laden down, almost as though their own weight carries them down to the grave. And some, my friends, are cut off right in their bloom. But God knows. And if I didn't know that God knows, my friends, what kind of life would we live in this life? Unless we know that our life and our breath are in God's hands, that Christ is alive, then indeed of all men we are most miserable. But he knows when the harvest is ready. And when the harvest is ready, so he puts in his sickle. And he reaps the harvest. He sows the seed, and where the seed is truly sown, then it brings forth its fruit in God's appointed time and goes on bringing it forth until God reaps it and gathers it onto himself. Let's just gather up some of those truths then of that parable of the seed sown secretly, as it's called, or the parable, in fact, off the mustard seed. It's growth, you see, it's growth. Here's what it's like when the gospel takes hold on a person's life. It produces growth in that person's life to the glory and the praise of God. As I say, let's not get carried away with any ideas that we've all, well, be great, we all became Paul's or Peter's or Abraham's or David's or all the rest. Let's not get carried away with that. Devil loves to come in like that, my friends. But where a person can honestly before the Lord profess a sincere trust in Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation for their soul and an endeavor to live in accordance with God's word and all of these other things, then that gospel is in that person's heart. But where it isn't, that person is still in their soul's damnation. And this night, my friend, you pray very sincerely that the Lord will work in your heart. And if you can call on the Lord to work and confident in him to say that you believe that he does work and is working, then you profess the Lord's name, because that, in fact, is a very part of that very growth that the Lord looks for us. You don't hide away the seed, don't you see, indefinitely. No, no. The good seed sown shows itself, comes forth, is seen by men. And where the gospel of God works in our heart, it becomes us, not to hide ourselves, but to show ourselves to the praise and the honor of the Savior. And may we hear the word, may we have heard it, may we hear it yet as from the Holy Spirit of God himself, and may it be productive in our lives of those things that are becoming of the gospel of our Savior. This night, any days or nights that lie before us in the Lord's will and purpose, to hear that word and to receive it as the Lord has granted it to us. Remember again that mustard seed. What the Lord requires of us is that we believe. And for that belief, he brings us into eternal life. Ah, you see, but what have I worked? What have I did? What have I produced something in and of myself? No, no. Then you'll end up with nothing, my friends. That's not how God does things. God says, in fact, bring but this grain of mustard seed. Then will come the returns. Believe and you shall be saved, and you shall enter into everlasting life. Those are God's conditions. And of course, you see the implications. To spurn such conditions, how great the damnation. To spurn to do that one thing that God requires, then how deep the condemnation of those that refuse it. May the Lord grant you grace, my friend, to hear the word, to find it implanted in your heart, and to see it bringing forth first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear, so that when the time of harvest comes for you or I or for any of us, or for us all together as God's will might be, then we're ready to be reaped indeed into life everlasting to the glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior.